music and talk radio about all things all genders. This is Intravenous, live on CJSF 90.1 FM, discussing and approaching contemporary gender issues through a feminist lens. Our goal is to educate, engage, and challenge the dominant hegemony.
Welcome to Intravenous here on CJSF, Campus Community Radio, where we broadcast on the unceded ancestral territories of the Kwikwetlem, the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh people. My name's Robin, and I am here to introduce our show today, which I had the distinct pleasure of being a fly over Zoom a couple of weeks ago to record. It is a conversation between Paola from the SVSPO office and Chantel from SFPIRG on the Consent Matters campaign, which has been active here on campus since 2016, specifically runs events through the week of September 18th to 22nd, so coming up next week. And in the conversation that you'll hear between Paola and Chantel, they're going to address some very important things, including what is consent beyond the binary, and how can we expand the scope of our understanding of what consent is? Also, looking at what the mainstream notions of consent are, how can we challenge what that looks like, and what are the challenges in doing so? And when we're talking about consent, there is a conversation about power, who has the power, what is the power of consent, who has the power to consent that is addressed. And playing off of that, just towards the end of the conversation, is how those systemic and structural ideas come from and flow down. First, a song.
Gente boa é lembrança, é gosto, é cheiro, é toque, tempero, pedaço de infância. O resto é rosto, é risco, dúvida que nos alcança. É a brisa que vira o barco, fundando com a maré. Cuidado com as voltas que o mundo dá. Menino, saiba que a alegria e a dor estão no mesmo lugar. Amor de verdade é livre, não fica tentando secar. A diferença entre o remédio e o veneno é a dose que se usar. Ainda mais quando se tem afeto, quando se quer junto, perto. Mesmo se o caminho é incerto, de certo que vale apostar. Mais linda se eu não tô completo, saiba que isso tudo é um processo. O que busco é bem mais complexo, lhe peço que saiba julgar. Que água leva maquiagem, tempo leva juventude. Mágoas nem sempre são passagens, ainda mais se a gente se ilude. Hoje só quero a pureza disso comigo, verdade de olhares sinceros, onde posso encontrar abrigo. Música. saiba que a alegria e a dor estão no mesmo lugar. Amor de verdade é livre, não fica tentando secar. A diferença entre o remédio e o veneno é a dose que se usar. Ainda mais quando se tem afeto, quando se quer junto, perto. Mesmo se o caminho é incerto, de certo que vale apostar. Mas linda, se eu não tô completo, saiba que isso tudo é um processo. O que busco é bem mais complexo. Lhe peço que saiba julgar, que água leva maquiagem, tempo leva juventude. Mágoas nem sempre são passagens, ainda mais se a gente se ilude. Hoje só quero a pureza disso comigo, verdade de olhares sinceros, onde possa encontrar abrigo. Gente bonita é foto, gente boa é lembrança, é gosto, é cheiro, é toque, tempero, pedaço de infância. O resto é rosto, é risco, dúvida que nos alcança. É a brisa que vira o barco, findando com a maré.
We were listening Gente Bonita by Fiotti. MC Fiotti is a Brazilian funk carioca rapper. When I say carioca, that means that he's from Rio de Janeiro, and he's also a singer and a producer. So who is talking right now is Paola. I am Paola Quiroz, one of the educators of the Sexual Violence Support and Prevention Office here at SFU. Let me tell you a little bit more about the SVSPO. So our office support all the SFU community members. That means students, staff, and faculty to access to free and confidential resources if they have been impacted by sexual violence or if they have received a disclosure. That means if someone have shared with you that they have been impacted by sexual violence and you don't know what to do and what resources to offer, so you can access our office and we can provide that guidance. We provide referrals on and off campus, emotional support, also guidance in case that the survivor wants to go ahead with a reporting process. We also offer a workplace and academic accommodations if that is needed for the student or for the SFU community member. And we also have different type of educational workshops where you can learn more about healthy relationships, consent, boundaries, how to be an active bystander, how to respond to a disclosure, and talk more about our policy, which is GP44. And then we also have an amazing group that is called the Active Bystander Network, which is our volunteer group here. And I am happy to chair today's show with Chantel from SF Berg. So, hello, good morning, Chantel.
Hi, Paola. Hi, everybody. So, yeah, I'll introduce myself really quickly. So, I feel like in this conversation, I have a couple hats. I'm with SF Perg, which is the Simon Fraser Public Interest Research Group. I'm the director of engagement there. But I also am a member of a national student organization called Students for Consent Culture, which I co-chaired for 2 years and have been a working member and advocate through that space for, I don't know, like 5 years. I don't even know what time means in that space anymore. But I guess I'll tell you a little bit about the PERG because it seems the most relevant to SFU. So SF PERG is a student-centered resource center at SFU that offers support, education, and resources for community members who are doing and learning about social justice work. So as an organization, we have a long history of engagement with the anti-violence movement, including participating in the building of GP44, what Paola was just referencing. At SFU, we also provide training and education on different aspects of gender-based violence and consent, both historically and contemporarily. We research experiences of sexual harassment at SFU, and then also through various campaigns and coalitions, we support a variety of feminist organizations and organizing collectives in the city. And we've been really excited this year to be a part of this work with the SVSPO. We did some sessions in, what do we call it in January? The Sexual Violence Awareness Month at the beginning of the year. And now we're here talking about Consent Matters, which is the campaign that Paola is going to discuss.
Yeah, so thank you, Chantel. So Consent Matters has been a campaign, an ongoing campaign that happens every year in September. So it was launched in January 2016. And it's a campaign that our office, the SVSPO, hosts. It usually happens on the third week of September. This year it's going to be from September 18th. To September 22nd. And really the primary goal of the Consent Matters campaign is to foster a culture of consent, care, and respect at SFU by helping the SFU community to get familiar with the resources that are available and what is the concept of affirmative consent. Also offering ideas for how to practice consent or why consent matters in this case, and sharing information to increase awareness about our resources and other resources on campus that can be supportive to the SFU community. This year, Consent Matters, so this year we are going to do something very similar to what we have been doing in the past 2 years. And it's asking this question, why consent matters, right? So we wanted to ask we have invited the certain SFU community members and leaders to share with us why it is important to talk about consent or consent matters because, or what do we need to talk more about consent? So it is a small campaign where we are asking them to send us a photo answering these prompts. And then what we're going to do during that week from September 18th to September 22nd is that we're going to share with the SFU community what these leaders that could be staff, faculty, or students are thinking and saying about consent. Just to kind of like open a path and set by example and give us ideas in how we can practice consent. And we are also going to host an online community conversation on consent beyond binaries, which I'm going to share more details at the end of the show.
Awesome. Thanks. So before we launch into a conversation about consent, we thought that we would pick some songs like we heard from Paola earlier. So the song that I chose to kind of lead us into the conversation about consent is by Tracy Chapman, who is a singer-songwriter who was very famous in the 90s. I don't think that she's put out an album in decades, unfortunately. But she was a real revolutionary singer at that time, like both for me, but also I think for most of like English speaking North America. And she wrote a lot about gender-based violence, particularly within Black communities and Black neighborhoods. And one of the songs that she wrote, I think, is kind of like the opposite of that, which is Baby, Can I Hold You Tonight? So thinking about like the love and relationship that exists, particularly within queer communities. So that is what we are going to hear next.
That was such a beautiful song. So thank you so much, Chantel, for bringing that song here into the show. I truly love music. So just going back to what we were talking about, consent matters. I wanted to really talk about, you know, this, the understanding that we have about consent, because there is not a general universal understanding of consent, but In this context, or in the SFU context, consent is, you know, a clear, ongoing, voluntary agreement to engage in sexual activities. Consent is also informed, it's freely given, and it is actively communicated, and it can be communicated through words and actions, and it can change at any time. But here I am talking specifically about consent when we engage in sexual activities, but we can definitely translate this concept to so many other realms in our lives. Like, how is that we practice consent with our close people, like with our beloveds, with our friends, with our colleagues? How is that we practice consent with the space and the land that we live on? How is that we practice consent with the way that we communicate, the way that we move physically into this, you know, world? So definitely consent can be translated to something simple. Sometimes when we hear this word, immediately people will think of like sexual activity, but we negotiate all the time. We're negotiating all the time within our relationships. Like just an example, today we had to negotiate and talk with Chantel, okay, what day will be great for us to have this show? When is that we're going to have availability? What is the subject that we're going to explore? Who wants to take on that subject? Is that okay if I bring this theme, or how do you feel about that? So it is something as simple as that. Simple as like when you are going out with your friends, you wanted to know where you wanted to go and eat, if everybody has the financial capacity to go to that restaurant. If not, then what accommodation needs to be made? Like, if the person, let's see, all of us, we go to this place and maybe one of them won't feel comfortable because it's too noisy, and then they decide to leave, then how is that we're going to negotiate that? So then it is, I always see it as an ongoing mutual negotiation. I think that the notions and ideas of mainstream consent, it lands only in one person. It's just mm-hmm. the person that says yes or no is the one that will kind of lead or the pace of the situation. And that is not the case. I see it more as an ongoing mutual negotiation. So we are gonna, that's why we have been talking and thinking in our office that there is a mainstream notion of consent out there that we have learned, especially when it talks about sexual activity, and is this binary notion that if you say yes, it's yes. If you say no, it's going to be no, and that's it. Mm-hmm. But that is such a simplified approach that will put many things outside of that negotiation. Like, what about our social location? What about if the person that is asking me is in power? What about if I am the person that is in power and I am asking another person that do not have that? What about if I have certain status in Canada and the other person does not? What about my identity, my race, my ability? So many other layers are not considered if we just stick to the yes and no answer. Mm-hmm. So that's why we have been thinking, okay, we need to talk more about this. And that's why we wanted to bring this conversation of consent beyond binaries. So Chantel, I wanted to, I don't know if you wanted to share more about this idea of also who are the ones that we think are the only ones that perpetrate violence, for example, in that binary approach that we have been talking before in other conversations.
Oh yeah, definitely. I also want to say too, just like adding on to that, like binary of yes and no. So there's also like this idea within the realm of like desire research, like sexual desire research and like counseling of like the enthusiastic maybe, that is also like really something that's felt by a lot of survivors of gender-based violence. Like it comes up in the research quite a bit. That it can be really hard for survivors or for like femme folks, just the way that we're like enculturated to say yes and no. And sometimes like the enthusiastic maybe is something to explore, which is really interesting. And if folks are interested in like what that idea looks like, there's this really great book called Tomorrow Sex Will Be Good Again, which explores these concepts of yes and no in like the post hashtag Me Too world and within like our expanding understandings of like desire and desire research. So I just want to like give a shout out to that actually really incredible resource. But yeah, like this idea that you brought up of binaries, I think is really important. The thing that immediately jumps to mind for me in terms of binaries is who gets left out in binaries. So the thing that I think most folks would maybe think of, that some folks maybe think of, is the binary that's kind of created, not just in the yes and no, but also the fact that within this binary, there's also these like normalized conceptions of when consent is violated, who is doing the violating and like who is on the brunt of that. So thinking about binaries around men perpetrating violence against women, and how that binary in particular, like when we think about when consent is violated, that construction also silences harm that is experienced by LGBTQ plus folks, by gender diverse peoples. And that's really common. Like there's so few resources or so few narratives or like education tools out there for the community, for queer communities or LGBTQ plus communities, around what happens when you experience gender-based violence, just recognizing that that also looks like not just sexual assault, right? Like it doesn't just look like the most egregious forms of violence. Like this gender-based violence also takes place in forms of sexism, like transmisogyny, like the hatred of trans people, like homophobia, like all of these different ways that harm is experienced by non-cis or non-hetero folks, that there's kind of this whole like constellation of folks and experiences that get marginalized if we're only thinking about this binary of yes and no, and or this binary of men perpetrating violence against women. So yeah, I think it's really important that you folks at the SVSPO are being leaders in talking about that. That's something that we also were trying to do. So through my other work with Students for Consent Culture, which I had mentioned earlier, like we just did a whole year long series, speaker series called Beyond Consent, where we like invited folks in from a lot of these community. Like we had a lot of queer, non-binary, like gender diverse folks come in and talk about their experiences around like consent and gender-based violence, and really got into these nuances that get silenced or marginalized by these larger societal understandings of what consent can be. So yeah, really glad that you folks are picking up the thread on that And that these conversations are like really getting into the more like meaningful, meatier parts of consent. Like I know that there are so many people and so many groups of people who like are learning about what consent means, like in the context that we exist in, like folks who might be newcomers to Canada, or like consent within the context of a post-secondary education. But I think that when we're only teaching consent as like yes and no, we are really underestimating like a hunger, I think, and like desire for people to go deeper than that. I hope anyway, that's maybe my hope, but like, yeah, I'm really excited to see like how much deeper and wider we can make these conversations about consent.
Yeah. And another thing that I wanted to say when you were talking about that notion and ideas that, you know, men are the only ones that perpetrate violence against women. That's another thing that is very binary, right? Like, okay, that this idea, only these two folks are the ones that are affected, removing a lot of agency of what happened with other communities, and not only agency, but the notion and the ideas that are out there that maybe within the LGBTQI plus community, there are no consensual relationships, that certain gender diverse folks don't practice that only that situation will happen to someone that is in a position of vulnerability, but also that assumption that that consent goes sometimes with this responsibility of gender, that only certain folks